Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. I'd like to welcome everyone into this Thursday/Friday edition of Kale's Corner. And y'all, I played that song for a reason. If you don't feel superior or dominant or on top, or like you're shining like a diamond yourself, who's going to feel that way for you? I'm sure there'll be some people who will look at you and, you know, have the great feeling or a superior feeling over the way you've done something or things you do. I'm here to tell you, you should always have that feeling about yourself. You should always see you as a superior individual. You shouldn't let anyone think or talk in a beneath you manner. Shine bright like a diamond, guys. Shine bright like a diamond. You know what I'm talking about? Believe that. Believe that with everything you do. I'm shining bright like a diamond. You know, there are always going to be people that hate. That's what people do. I got a saying to one of my buddies. And this guy, you know, he gets in touch with me every morning and send me a text, a kind word, a prayer, or, you know, just, hey, bro, how you doing? And I tell him all the time, let the haters hate. You be great. The haters hate. You be great. Why do I say that? Because how much control do we have over what someone else is doing or going to do? I liken it to my cell phone. Text messages that come through, you know, stuff that people send. We don't have any control over that. We have no control over that. The only control we have is if we pick up the phone and call them back, or, you know, we accept the text and text something back. But you really don't have any control over what people send you. So I say control what you can control. What is it that we can control? We can control being great. We can control not allowing things to get to us. We can control being on top no matter what the situation is. No matter what's going on, you shine bright like a diamond. I got it. Please. Shine bright like a diamond. We got a little bit of intro to get through. But once we get through this intro, we're right there at it, y'all. Shine bright like a diamond. Like a diamond. And I haven't seen anything with a more beautiful shine than a diamond. I've seen cubic zirconias, but they not shining like that diamond. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I'm talking about. Come on, man. Come on, come on, come on with it. Come on with it. Yes, come on. I'm trying to hear that.
Shine like a diamond.
Yes.
Shine bright like a diamond.
Well, I'm getting goosebumps, y'all. I'm getting goosebumps. All right, y'all, that's all I'm doing. I'm gonna stop. But shine bright like a diamond, man. Don't ever let no one steal your shine, your light, your vision for yourself, your place. Don't let anyone take that away from you. It is yours. You know, real quick, yesterday Brother Ted took the boys, my son and his godson, to the basketball game, and I was talking to them, and, you know, I'm just listening to what they're doing with their lives now, and, you know, they're finally having the conversations that older men have when we get off work and how we're tired and everything. But both of them showing appreciation for the work that they're doing, and they're striving to do more, to shine like a diamond. And y'all, that's partly where the inspiration came for this opening song, because it was just so good to me to see these young men that we raised, you know, just putting everything together like it's supposed to be, to the point where they're going to when it's their time, shine like a diamond. So, yeah, man, that's great to me. It was great to me to see that. It was great to experience that. And you know, every now and then we have those moments, guys, where we actually see the time that we put into and excuse me, y'all. We actually see the time and the effort that we put into the younger generation, and with everything, I think about the young man who was on the news tonight, who they're trying to decide whether to charge him as an adult or not because he shot someone on the bus. You know, I mean, you just in this world full of chaos, man, in this world full of chaos, the fact that our youngins aren't involved in that chaos, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. All right, y'all, I'm going to get off my soapbox. Thank y'all for listening. To all my streamers, all the online listeners, and everyone in the studio, thank you for your time to listen. Okay. On today's Thursday, Friday episode of Tales Corner, we're going to take a look into the NHL division leaders, NHL. And who at this point do you see as a favorite for Lord Stanley? You know, that Stanley Cup winner at the end of it all. Who's going to hold it up? We shall see. I want to know what you guys think. We will discuss today's MLB preseason, the games that are currently going on in preseason. It's really not a whole lot of news with basketball right now, but I'm pretty sure we'll have something to kick around with the NBA, you know. We're going to talk NFL. Free agency, it starts next week, March 13th. And some teams are already making moves, cutting people, moving people, and all that. So we'll discuss the moves made and the expected moves to be made. All right? Tales Corner, keeping it real is our only real. Now I'm talking about, y'all know what I'm talking about, man. Hey, listen, we got a great show planned. I'm so glad that you guys have joined in with us. And I can't wait to get it in. I cannot wait to get it in. 563-999-3782. In case you don't know, 563-999-3782. Let's go a little bit more Rihanna on this quick break. We'll be right back.
I believed all of your dreams are duration. You took my heart, all my keys, and my passion. You took my heart, I'ma leave a decoration. You mistaken my love, I brought for you.
Hey, go ahead, girl. Work. NHL. Let's look at the division leaders, guys. Right now, in the eastern side of Eastern Conference, in the Atlantic Division, the Panthers are leading that division with 43 wins and 16 losses. 43-16. The Metropolitan Division, we have the Rangers leading that division 40-18. 40-18. We move over to the Western. We have the Stars. 38-17 doing their thing. We have the Pacific Division, the Canucks. The Canucks, 40-17. 40-17. And, you know, looking over this Pacific Division, guys, this is the first time the Golden Knights have not been top three, at least. This is the first time I've seen them not at top three. And I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to go out on a limb, guys. I think that the Panthers. I'm going to go with the Panthers out of the Atlantic Division because right now they're looking like the strongest team. They have the best record in the NHL, so and the most points. So I'm really, really pulling hard towards that Panthers team to take it all when it's all said and done. Let's go to my man Lou.
Yes.
What's up, Lou?
All right. Good thing you're talking hockey. I know we don't be all on this show, but yeah. All right. Well, I've been looking at the standings, of course, for the last couple of weeks now. Usually by January is when I start paying more attention to it. What would you think about maybe a 94 rematch between the Rangers and the Canucks?
Yeah. It definitely looks like we're headed toward that. It definitely looks like we're headed.
I like it.
Yeah.
Memories of 94. Let's see that.
Yeah. Boy, 94. All I can say is it was a very good year.
Even if you were at the game itself, if you were watching that game, you felt like you were there. I mean, that's how big the atmosphere was in that game. Because I was watching it at home. My parents had friends over that night. They were out there outside the backyard. It was in June, so it was dark later. Around the end of the second period, they're coming out. They don't even like hockey that much, but they knew how much I was in this game. So we all gathered around, and believe me, it was so intense in the third period, going all the way down to the end. And when that final buzzer hit, everybody in the room just went nuts. I went nuts. I went around. I mean, I went berserk around the room, called everybody I know, like, yes, we got it, we got it. And from Sam Rose, who did the commentary, the way it's over. And it's like we were just with berserk. It was fantastic.
Okay. Well,
I would love to see that happen again.
Yeah. I can, you know, when it comes down to it, Lou, you know, I'm a diehard. Anything Washington, but when Washington is all out of it, I usually go to the closest team, and that would be the Rangers. You know, the closest team that's still alive. Excuse me, let me make that clear. The closest team that's still alive that I don't mind going behind. Now, if it was a situation where Green Bay and Dallas were the last two teams, I would pick Green Bay. I don't care. I can never pick Dallas. Yeah. Yes, sir. And you know me well. But it would have to be the Rangers for me, Lou. It would have to be the Rangers. And when I look at their records, the Canucks are – I mean, not the Canucks. You said who did you say, Lou? Who did you say
again?
You said the Rangers?
I said Vancouver.
Right, you did say the Canucks. In the loss column, the Rangers have 18, the Canucks have 17, but they both have 40 wins. So... And I'm telling y'all, when it comes to hockey, that means more than anything else. The wins and losses of a team, both on the road or at home. Now, the Rangers are sitting there with 84 total points for the season, and the Canucks have 87 total points for the season. So, yo, hey, man, this is a good book we reading, y'all. This is going to be a very good book that we read with the Stanley Cup, because these teams are neck and neck, and you don't know which way to call it. But I'm going to go Rangers, and I explain to you, I go with the team that's closest to my home. So I got to go with the Rangers on that one. So,
all right.
And Lou,
well,
already
we still,
know.
We still have a little bit of way to go. I mean, we still have about, 20 games on the regular season and whatnot, mm-hmm. and the playoffs, We got to watch out, though, for injuries, because if you hockey fans recall last year, a certain team that broke all records last year, namely the Boston Bruins,
mm-hmm.
they set the record for most wins and most points ever in a hockey regular season. So naturally, everybody thought they're just going to run away with the playoffs and win the Stanley Cup. Not to be. They got mm-hmm. ousted in the first round in seven games. However, there were key injuries to some of those top players just before the regular season ended. I'll tell you, going into a playoff series, if your players are not healthy, that could change the whole thing right there. Your players got to be healthy. You're going to win the cup. I mean, sure, you're offensive and all tonight, but, for the most part, if your team is 100% healthy going into the playoffs, you could probably be in for a big upset.
Right.
And not the trade always change can become a factor too, because you trade one of your best players and then you get trash in return, and that can really mess you up too.
Right. Yeah, it really does.
You got a great pick. You got a great player, and then you exchange him, and you get, well, I don't want to sound crude here, but you play like a turd. That's what cost you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you play like a turd.
Yes, sir, like a turd. I like that. We never know. We never know who is going to be, like I said. All these teams are so close. And that's all the teams that are leading. Now, the Panthers, like I said, have more points than anyone with 90. More wins, 43 with 16 losses. But I think Panthers, it's something about that Atlantic division, Lou, to me. It's something about that Atlantic division. Those guys seem to fall on that injury sword more than anyone else. You dig what I'm saying?
Like I said, injuries play a factor. They can play a big factor.
Yeah. You get all riled up and ready to go with them, and here goes the injury. They lose a key player, forward, a center, even a goalie.
Let's look at it this way. Okay, let's put it this way. Let's say that, when the preseason starts in September, or going back before it starts and preseason, somebody gets injured, they get time to recover, and they can make a good impact on a team later in the season. If you get hit now and say your injury is going to be, out 6 to 8 weeks, going into time of the season, that could be very costly. Because, like I said, you're going to be in all the place as healthy as you can get going to this point of the year and heading in the playoffs. Because one key injury could go from being, favored to win the Stanley Cup to ousted in the first round. I've seen it happen way too many times before. And who's to say it's not going to happen again?
Right. I agree totally.
Everybody was taking the Bruins to, just roll right in the Stanley Cup. Three out of the four series could have been sweeps. They were almost a shoe. Everybody passed them in for the Stanley Cup. What happened?
Right.
The first round. See it. And I have and my best friend is a Bruins fan, unfortunately, but that's another story. But other than that, we're fine. Let me see. We're in March now. Back in December and January, our teams play against each other and we were taking notes for, like, the whole game. And, like, well, she's going to kill me. And, like, you know,
right.
We have this, we kind of have a friendly rivalry going on between, you know, my Rangers and her Bruins. Once again, she's from that area. But, you know, it's, you were complaining about, it was like, you know, like the ESPN guys taking notes during our intermission. So that's
right.
That's how intense you get about that rivalry. I mean, after all, it's two years old six, mind you, of course. So that makes you, that even adds more to it.
Yeah. Washington, we have two teams. Two teams. That's
sort
the
of.
Bruins, well, that we absolutely hate. Absolutely hate Washington fans. That's the Bruins and the Penguins. Goodness. Those Penguins, and they're not doing too good this year. They're really not doing too good this year. Nothing to write home about.
Well,
anyway.
Look, you lost Malkin, so there you are.
Yeah, exactly. There you are. Let me go to another caller. Great combo, Luke. Great combo.
Thanks.
Let's go to Brother Ted. What's happening, Ted?
Hey, what's going on, Kells Corner family? Hey, what's going on, Lou? How you doing? I don't have much time because I'm working on my house phone, which the battery died. That's what happened with that, and I'm got my wife's phone because my phone cracked. It won't be here till tomorrow. But a couple of quick things. But Kell, I appreciate the shout out today about the kid. And that's, you know, point of what you were saying about feeling that you're great and a diamond and stuff. You know, I kind of had that feeling yesterday at the game, and I wasn't hating on people. I seen people that was down, and people was taking pictures with them. They was, like, down on the floor because we was close to the floor, maybe about 11 rows up or what have you. So, but people was coming from, like, where we was at and going down. So then other people was stopping them taking pictures. So, you know, after a while, I'm seeing them. So we couldn't see some of the people because one chick had her hair done, and I'm like, who is that? Who is that? So then at one point, I'm like, okay. You know me, I'm bold. I was like, okay, I want to see what's by where they going and this and that. So, but anyway, I was like, I'm important also. Y'all snap pictures of me, but I would like to say, wouldn't hate. But I just say that to say, like I say, I also feel that aspect. I feel that I'm great. You know what I mean? I'm regardless of what I've done, I know what God has created. You know what I'm saying? That's what we always instill in our young men. You know, so it was my pleasure. You know, with that. So, but I digress on that. But also, I'm getting with the hockey. Now, Lou, that was a good point that you made about last year, how the Bruins was doing their thing. You know, everybody thought this and that, you know, and because I even thought the Bruins, okay, they do anything. And like you said, they just got swept. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, another question I want to ask now, what city represents the Panthers in hockey?
What do you mean? What team? What? Or you mean what division?
What city? City represents
Miami.
The Miami Panthers. Okay.
Well, they call Florida Panthers. You know, they
call it Florida Panthers.
Yeah, just Florida. But I think it's more Southern Florida to Miami.
Now, how many teams do Miami have? Because do they have another team? Or because I know not like you know within the years 5 years or so they have won a Stanley Cup, correct?
Correct. Tampa has won three of them. Yeah.
Okay. And we know Vegas. Well, we know that, you know, what was getting me. I was like, the warm weather states are winning Stanley's, and these cold weather teams not doing nothing. But but as far as the teams that you guys mentioned, I haven't been watching much of them, but hockey. But like I said, we got like 20 games, and it does get tough, man. I find hockey excited, like I always tell Kel. I tell the Fabian guys, I do have a cousin that plays hockey.
Well, that's just approximately, right? Because some teams have more games than others, and one because not every team plays the same night. So on average, 20 per team, but it could be a little bit more, it could be a little bit less. It's not like baseball where every team plays like almost every night. So you know, that's why everybody can play like, oh, the season's too long. Yeah, but remember, they don't play as many games every night as it does in baseball. So what you're thinking in terms of, oh, it's a long season, you know, you had to factor that in that they only play 82 games and they don't play six nights a week like their baseball counterparts. So while it seems like it's longer to think, in reality, it's really not.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, but also another key thing, and this is with any sports that I'm finding, well, that's with any sports period, the key is being healthy, you know, especially your key player, your star, being healthy, you know.
One word to sum it up. And that word is?
Yeah, and so yeah, so that's the thing with that, and also
what's the word?
Let me say this, guys. Hockey is completely different than any other sport because we've seen football players get hurt in a certain way and still be able to continue to play. And I'm not just saying that game, but to continue to finish out the season. Basketball players, theirs is a little more intense than football players. But hockey, you use every muscle, every part of your body in hockey. And when one thing is off, you're completely off. One thing is off, you are totally off. So that's a great point. You know, as quick.
But what's the magic word I'm looking for, guys?
Huh?
What's the magic word I'm looking for?
For availability?
Nope.
Well, what is the magic word you're looking for?
The magic word, looking this time of year, is only one word that describes it all. That word is stamina. You have to have the stamina to go that far, from the first round of the playoffs to the championship. That's what you need. That's what you need to stay alive.
And you know what, Lou? That's a good word to use on that. But also, I was thinking about my Hawks, man, of how I call it not aggressive, man, and how they be just be bullcrapping, man, skating like they just out there or just practicing or something, man. And you got other teams be controlling the puck, you know. I'm like, man, what, y'all need to be aggressive, man. You know, check them against that board.
Yeah.
Do something. Y'all letting them steal the board, puck from y'all. Y'all stand on the defensive end more so than being on the offensive end. So I like aggressive skating, like you say. That goes with stamina and teams just – You gotta skate and hustle, you know. That's hustle.
Yeah.
You gotta do that. So, indeed.
One thing I love is the ref. Let them rumble. Let them fight. I love that. Anytime I can get a little bit of boxing on the ice, I'm all for it. I am all for it. I love when the ref. Let them
real
take
quick.
Their aggression out.
You're right. I'm sorry. Hey, now this is my first take. You know, what's the old boy name? Mad Dog be getting mad at and stuff. All right. Now his segment, he talking about which is one of the hardest sports, right? And so he talking about he put curling in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think he put curling above hockey or whatever and stuff of the leg. You got baseball and what have you. And like you said, hockey, you use every bit of your body, your bones, man, your body, your muscles, you know what I'm saying? Especially skate. It's just even just the skate alone, it takes that. And then how fast them boys be going, and then the skill of controlling that puck, how they can, you know, man, you know, that man, come on, man. That high. And then, then also it's a rough sport because you don't know when somebody gonna come blindside you. In football, you can't get blindsided. In hockey, man, you get against that boy, somebody come out of nowhere, and then it's a fight, and they let you do that. Football, you can't even do that. So you gonna tell me hockey not tough and rough? See, like I told you, my cousin been playing it for so many years, and he is that every bit of rough and tough. You know what I mean?
All I'm gonna say, you talk about those blindside hits. I mean, we say in football, every play is a car crash. Well, in hockey, them semi trucks coming at you. They ain't regular cars. them semi-trucks, you know, coming at you. And I mean, goodness gracious, it was a while when I first started watching hockey. I was like, well, damn, what is a penalty?
Yeah.
It didn't look like penalties to me, man.
Right, I'm like, man, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, I was like, okay, you know? The ref pick and choose when he want to call it a penalty, huh? That's how y'all
right,
going to
right.
be? Damn.
You know, and you think about it, you know, I'm sorry.
You think about that as
you say, man, they on skates and this and that. You just wonder how they don't get as many broken bones as you say, the football injuries and this and that, and they skating 100 miles an hour, man, and the crash. And then also, you might get slashed by a stick, you know.
Yeah.
And also, I've heard the players that didn't get slashed by a dog on skate, you know, lacerated.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, that's a dangerous sport. So, that's in the top three for me as far as hard and dangerous sports, you know?
Yeah. That and a sport that really doesn't get a lot of American attention. It gets American attention, but it really doesn't get a lot, and that's rugby. I think rugby is another sport that stuff is I don't know what, and them dudes all they wear.
Australia, but it is tough, though. You're right.
All they wear is elbow pads, knee pads, maybe a shin pad. Other than that, them dudes, it's all manhood going against manhood. That's crazy.
And they being short shorts.
I told you that the other day, man. It seemed like all sports are reverting to short shorts again, man. That's crazy to me. It seems like everybody wants to wear short shorts.
Yeah, but who wears short shorts?
Yeah.
I ain't going to say we because I don't. It ain't me.
Not at all.
Been wearing that, you know, over their gear in Australia and stuff, you know. But rugby is a hard sport, man, definitely. It's like I'm trying to figure out how they go about the scoring and what's, you know, I know the object on some things, and they got the little skinny poles going up through there and this and that, but you got people pitching and you can tackle someone, you got four going around and stuff. But, yeah, man, it is an interesting game, and it is tough, too. And they be – like you say, no pads, man. Not pretty much just elbows and knees. Ain't no helmets or nothing like that. You get teeth knocked out as in hockey. You know what I'm saying? That's a sign of a hockey player. Yeah. You see his front teeth gone, you know? So.
Well, you know, with hockey, once you sign the contract to play, the second thing you do is go get your teeth sized because they know you're going to be knocked out. And you're going to have replacements because your teeth,
I don't know why they never came with mouth guards, though. That's like you say. I mean, you should see Bobby Hall, all them cats with their grill missing, man. I'm like, why they never did go with mouth guards, you know? But they couldn't breathe or something, but like you say, that was a sign, man. You had your grill because you got as many fights, you know what I'm saying?
I think because of other players and what they do, I guess they're looking at you as soft if you wear a mouth guard. You know what I'm saying? I say I don't care. I'm getting my money and I'm keeping my teeth. So, you know, y'all call me.
I think they might wear more so now. Right. They more so wear now because it's a pretty boy league, you know, and stuff, you know, like kind of Denard and them and stuff, you know. They get a lot more endorsements now and so, you know.
I've seen the puck. We talking about the puck, y'all. Not the stick, not the skate. I've seen the puck knock people out. The little puck. Knocks people out because
it's little. No, you're correct, but it's going maybe 100 miles an hour and perhaps faster. Chat, that's like a torpedo, man. A bullet.
It's frozen. It's a frozen piece of rubber. The bucket.
Yes.
It's a frozen piece. Nah, man.
Hard.
I don't want no parts of that. Nah,
hard.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, my hat is off to the goalie, man. I give the goalie all the props in the world, bro.
Go ahead.
I mean, because it looks, when I'm watching at home, I was like, man, that thing looked like a little M&M sliding across the floor. But when I had the chance to go to the game and actually hold one of the pucks, I was like, oh, man. Nah, Joe, I was fucking around bullets. It's a round bullet, man. It's hard as frozen rubber, man. Nah. Y'all can have all that.
And remember we was talking about, we had a show and it was talking about why they got the glass up so high. We was talking about how the danger of the puck hitting somebody in the stand, you know. Like you said, I didn't miss a good catch on that kill. But like you say, man, that's a missile, man. And it would, man, take you out. It will, it could kill you, let alone straight up give you concussion. You know? For sure. Yeah. It ain't nothing nice, Jack. And they be flicking that puck, Jack, for real.
Don't they?
You
don't
think
they?
Them goalies padded up, you know what I mean? Padded up with them thick gloves and thick pads and all that shit.
And let's not forget that back in the day, back when the beginning of hockey, these guys played without face masks, without protective gear, a whole lot of protective gear like they play with now. Over the years, in the century, it has all evolved to what it is today.
Well,
but
you gotta figure.
I mean,
because it was kind of dangerous without that kind of equipment. And I think maybe it was a lot more serious injuries back then. So I think for safety purposes alone, I mean, that's why they made those adjustments.
Yeah.
All right, John, let's take another. Go ahead.
I'm saying if I cut out, that's what.
After this. Okay, I got it.
Right.
If you cut out, you better find a way to cut back in. That's all I'm telling
right.
you.
Right, because I do got some NBA update.
Cut.
Okay, that's what's up. All right, let's go to Brother Marcus. Marcus, I know you don't have no hockey conversation.
What's up, Marcus?
I told you a long time ago I like hockey. I don't like baseball.
Okay.
Ooh.
I said to myself, I know Marcus falling asleep. Let me get him on and wake him up real quick.
Bruh, hold on. Listen, I love hockey for all the reasons Tim mentioned. You know what I'm saying? You could DDT somebody on the ice. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Tim, you telling your age, man? You telling your age?
Listen,
I haven't heard that in a minute.
You could do that. Hey, Kale, you could do whatever you want on the ice, and all you get is 3 minutes in the box. And you coming
in
right
the
back out.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
In the sin
you coming right back
three
out.
Minutes.
Look, this. So look, check this out. I sent you a picture of the roughest sport I ever seen. Right?
Oh,
it's a Japanese sport. It be coming on TV though. Right? It's
what
a Japanese sport where they put this pole in the ground, and one team, it's like 25 people. They surround the pole, and another team when the ref blow the whistle, the other 25 dudes run over to them and climb on top of them, and they be fighting, bro. It's a full out brawl to get to the top of this stick. It's called botashi.
Oh my goodness! I'm about to Google that one.
Roughest sport I ain't never, cause you know Japanese Asian countries they known for being very civilized, even though you know they can fight, they known for being civilized, bruh.
Mm-hmm.
It's like for this In this game, there's nothing civilized about it. Until they blow, when they blow the whistle, they go ham, bro, and go in.
We talking blood and everything, huh?
Kicking, they be kicking bombers in the head. You gotta look at a clip of that joint. Yeah? It's crazy. I have never seen anything like.
I'm gonna have to see that, because man.
Yeah, y'all all gotta check that out.
Okay, we both.
Yeah. So who, Mr. Winter Hockey? Who? And I didn't ask you this, Ted, and I meant to. Who do you guys see taking him? I mean, is there anybody that you're considering a favorite right now in the NHL? Let me go over the division standings one more time. We got in the Eastern Conference, the Florida Panthers are leading the Atlantic Division with 43 wins, 16 losses. In the Metropolitan Division, we have the Rangers with 40 wins, 18 losses. 40 wins, 18 losses. Over in the Western Conference, the Central Division, the Stars. The Stars are leading 38 and 17, and the Pacific Division, we have the Canucks with 40 wins, 17 losses, and I'm sorry guys, I didn't read their points. 87 points for the Canucks, 85 for the Stars, 90 points for the Panthers, and 84 for the Rangers. So who do you guys see just taking this?
I got the Rangers.
Taking home.
I got the
Rangers. Come on, Marcus. Don't do it. Well, okay, yeah. I'll go with you on that. We can have the Rangers. I'll go with you on that because they close to home. So, yeah. The Rangers is a good coach.
If we not,
how are you going to dictate your team who you go for?
Yeah, man.
Hey, Ted, if
we not in it, because for real, I don't care about no team once we not in it. You know what I'm saying? I'm all about the Caps. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if we not in it, I want the people in our division to boss hog, period.
Speaking of the Cap, they received a harsh blow today from the politicians in Virginia about that move. They don't want. Though they're saying there's too many other things that the politicians need money for and that deserves to be addressed before a sports thing. So the vote was five to three. As far as five people against it and three people that were on side with the move. So now it's not over yet. There's still a vote that has to come down, and I forgot exactly when they said it's coming, but there's another vote coming where on this proposal by Monumental Sports to move the Caps and the Wizards. So, I don't know. I think the $500 million that the mayor has set aside for a revitalization for that area down there at Capital One Arena, I think that's more than enough. I think Ted Leonsis is being greedy and being a jerk. Seriously. Seriously. And I, for one, am going to immediately call for removal Ted Leonsis. I'm sick of what he's doing with these teams. Now, again, I said it the other day. We give him a grade for all the teams that are under his ownership. You know, the Wizards, I give them an F. I give them straight up F. F minus, for real. The Caps, I'll give them an A for the Caps because he promotes them. He advertised for them. It's all type of Caps paraphernalia out there that you can buy and everything. The Mystics, the only time you can buy Mystics items is when they're playing, when they're actually playing. You can't get nothing right now. You might find, I'll take that back, you might find a hat or a banner or a flag or something like that, but they really get no advertisement, so I give him an F for the Mystics. So the only team that he owns here in D.C. that he's doing any good with, you're complaining, okay, talking about you want people to come down and you need more butts in the seats and all of that. Well, bruh, if you need butts in the seat, stop doing things, dumb stuff like go-go night. Half of the people that are into go-go really not into, I'll take that back. Let me erase that. A lot of people are more into the go-go than they are the basketball team. You know, I see people in the arena during the games. I see everything except for Wizards gear. Everything except for it. And then you call a Gilbert Arenas designed hat a promotion. Get out of here, man. That's the weakest promotion ever. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Pause your soapbox on Ted Leonsis when you poo-pooing on him, man. You know, that's how we got where we was at the other day. But anyway, let me answer that question real quick about the hockey thing. I don't know who to choose because, like I said, last year I was talking about the hottest team that we was talking about, the Bruins, and they were crazy. So I got to watch, you know, other teams and see how they skating, you know, for the rest of this next half of the season going into the playoff, and then I'll give you a better choice of who I might like.
Okay. That's cool. That's cool. Can I get back on Ted now? I know y'all name brothers and everything, but I'm telling you, man, he's doing a terrible job with these teams, man. And even with the Caps, look at the Caps, man. They falling down. They are falling down. They're not the same team they once were. They truly aren't. You know, and not to saturate topics and everything, but I look at that Wizards team last night, and Ted, you were there. You were there in the arena. They had so much energy in the first and second quarter. Now, Orlando was playing the second game of a back-to-back. And they had more energy and intensity in the third and fourth quarter than the Wizards. And I was like, man, this is why I don't want to go down there. This is why. It's sickening to me. It is sick. It's unexplainable. And then, you know, Damon and I were watching it. And he made a point that I didn't even think about, you know. I wasn't watching for this until he said it. The boys don't even look like they like playing with each other. Seriously. They don't even look like they like praying with each other, man. And when he said that, I started watching. Prayers, falling on
Hello?
The floor, falling down. Nobody helps him up. I saw Orlando players fall, and damn near their whole team ran over and helped the man off the ground. When does somebody fall, everybody just running down to the other side of the court, letting that man get up on his own. And I'm like, this is what's missing with our team. These guys have no chemistry. They have no, and I understand, I'm not friends with everyone I work with. I don't get along with everyone I've had to work with. I've encountered coworkers that were jerks, but we still got the job done. Y'all dudes making all kinds of money, all types of money, crazy money. Go ahead, Ted.
DeMarcus was going to I just think, like I say, man, I think that pool addition was a bad mistake because you got Kuzma, he does not look the same as he did last year, as his merger team. He don't know whether it's his team or not. He don't know what's what. Like I said, I was live at the game, and that was the third one I've been to this season. Okay, and Kale, you know I'm judging players, Jack, and man, he looked like, dude, you got to take it strong. You got playing defense. Ben Carroll was killing him, and then also Wiggins ain't got no more size anymore. Nobody that's gonna that Gafford gave you that heart, you know. 110% rather he, you know, healthy this and that, but he was wore out, you know, because he was giving you that 110%. But they ain't got nobody to check the boards, to block, you know, to hold down that middle. They look terrible, and Poole just looked like a total. I said, Markeith, I know I put you, but you kill it, won't you? You know what I mean? Because he's, all right, that's be your size, so that's why you got to work on your drill, because he's super sorry. A mistake waiting to happen, especially when he was laying on his back, didn't know where to pass. I thought he was going to shoot it.
Yes.
He should have started lying.
Yes.
He was just sitting up there laughing, you know what I'm saying? I was like, boy, you just goofed. And then what I said, it's them doggone new shoes. I'm like, how can y'all try a new pair of shoes every game? And then at that is low top. You know, that's why you got so many injuries, ankle injuries and stuff with these players, you know, and what have you, because of these low tops. Never played in low tops, man. No. That's for walking around looking cute there. I got to have the armor on, and my ankles got to be, you know, fortified, you know. So, but, it's just these kids is totally wild. But they sorry. They terrible. So, but Poole, they need to do something else, man. They need to do something. Get rid of Poole. Get rid of that contract, man. And like you say, you're totally right. They don't look like they don't give each other dap, man. They don't. It's not encouraged.
Yeah.
I saw we're right behind the bench. We're right behind the bench. Now, if you're looking at your screen, we're to the left of that bench. So I can see the reaction and all that, man. And it's like they ain't totally right, man. So, yeah, I that's my take exactly like he got it. On point.
Yeah, man. It's shameful. It is very shameful. And you know me, I watch the game on mute. I don't turn my TV on. But I was listening to Damon's TV. And these dudes talking about everything and everybody except the Wizards. You know, and I'm talking about Wizard announcers, Wizard play-by-play guys. They talking about everything and everybody except for the team. And I'm like, y'all got to be pissed off about this. Y'all got to be upset about this. These people are actually coming out and they giving stats on somebody else team, and then they'll say, then they said, Poole has had six 20-point games in a row. Okay, Those are individual stats. How many steals did he have? How many fast breaks, assists? You know, what else is he doing to help his team out there? And listen, boy, I wish you could have heard me screaming when that Bama sat on the floor and it looked like he was thinking, I could shoot this. I was like, boy, you said, if I was the coach, if he'd have shot that, I would have benched him for the rest of the game. Seriously. You sit down on the floor, you got two people standing around you. That means somebody is open somewhere. That's the ball, man.
Yeah, you know what, though? Also, what's the dilemma, too? Guys don't cut. They busy standing around. If you see your player, you know, is trapped, give them an open lane. Give them a passing lane. Cut the move. It was one play, man. I don't know if it was Arby, was one of them foreign guys. But it was like, man, tell him to cut. Me and Elijah both. And the Marquise, like, cut, man. And then he finally did because he's out by the three-point line. And then he cut. Then is when he got the pass. I'm like, man, you just – what are y'all thinking about? Y'all just want to stand by that three-point, don't move. The person get trapped. You don't want to go towards the ball, you know what I'm saying, or go back. Y'all don't want to do the fundamental things that's basketball fundamental, one-on-one. You know what I mean?
Abia, watching that game last night, there were three players out there. Get rid of them, and your everything will change. That's Avia, that's Kisper, and Jordan Poole. And the reason I say that first half, we didn't see a whole lot of Avia. We didn't see a whole lot of Kisper, and we didn't see a whole lot of Poole because now they're bringing him off the bench. And we had a 20-point lead, man. A 20-point lead. The coach decides, oh, well, for whatever reason, this is the guy we need to put in right now, and that guy needs to go in. And slowly, that lead dwindled. And you saw
he has
Orlando.
No defensive scheme.
You saw Orlando. You saw Orlando build momentum. Build momentum. And Ted, I'm trying to tell you, if that coach knew anything about defense, it would smack him in his face, seriously. Because watching these boys play together, again, how can you play defense without communication? And I'm at home watching. You were there. Did you hear anybody scream out? Screen, look out, block, the rebound. You don't hear this. You don't hear this at all. I'm telling you, this team is a team. It's a collection of guys who don't really and getting back with Kuzma. You can see the change in this young man's game. You can see it because one time he came down, made a shot, and the arena went off, the crowd went off. You know what his players did? His teammates did? Nobody high-fived them. Yeah, that was up, da-da-da. Everybody just ran down to the other end of the court. And you saw it in his face. You saw it in his face. Man, I wish I should have went on and got traded, man. I should have went on and asked for a trade. Yeah.
Right. I was exactly thinking that. But I think, like I say, Jordan Poole is a poison, man. He's a young, selfish player. All he wants is to think about himself. He has no defense. Like I say, the Wizard team doesn't have a defensive scheme. He need to put Shepherd out there more to play defense. He's going to give you a defense and what have you. Kuzma just lost his identity and his dissension in the team. He don't know what lineup to use, and definitely ain't got no big man now. So they always trade their players away, and then their players usually become a championship, a champion. So I'm looking for Dallas, man. y'all better look out for Dallas because Wizards didn't get rid of another person. And if they get it together and Luka pass a little bit more and Kyrie go on his historical run and stuff, they could be dangerous, you know what I'm saying, in that Western Conference.
Well,
because LeBron is.
I watched Gafford play with Dallas the other day, and I saw more work from Gafford than I've seen the 2 years, 3 years he's been here with the Wizards. I saw him perform on that court with the Mavericks, man. He really put that work in. And I'm like, damn, man. It's our coaching. I got to say that. It's our coaching, man. Our coaching is terrible. Terrible. And then what organization do you know that's going to fire a coach and move him to the front office? What the hell can he do in the front office, man? And Damon made a point that's nothing but a promise that the older owner, I can't believe I forgot.
Abe Pollin.
Abe Pollin. Thank you. Abe Pollin put in that contract, we will always have a position for Wes Unseld's son. And then I go over we traded a whole championship team to Detroit, man. We just traded a whole championship team away. And they became champions that year. That year. Man, I'm saying, man. That team is so frustrating to me, man. And I told David last night, we had a good laugh about it. I said, man, I'm seriously swaying over to Milwaukee, man. And he said, now, if you choose Milwaukee, you got to stay with Milwaukee. There's no flip-flopping. And I thought about it. I'm more confident in Milwaukee and what they're doing and who they're going to be in the next 5 years than I am with the Wizards. I don't see this team getting it together. I really and truly don't. Now, hopefully they do. They're talking about we're going to draft this young center from, I think it's Purdue, if I'm not mistaken.
He's soft, man.
He's
soft and cream cheese. Yeah, man, he's soft and cream cheese. Okay, it's like this. You don't have many big men in the league like we had back in the day, okay? So he's the biggest thing, him and the dude that's at Kansas that transferred from Michigan, okay? I can't think of his name, but whatever his name. But both of them, they ain't demanding like that. They, you know what I'm saying? You got that height. You the biggest thing out there. You're 7'3", 7'2". Man, you supposed to be, you know what I mean? You supposed to have a drop step. You supposed to have your left jump hook, right jump hook. Come on, man. And then on the blocks, you supposed to be getting busy. But these guys, they okay, man. But they, So he okay. But if you need a big man to clog, you can work with him, hoping he can get better. So those pretty much two may be the biggest things out there. But, I can get him. But he needs some work. He need to go to big man camp. You know what I mean? For real. He need that. For them to be 4 years in college, for them to be 4 years in college, your footwork is like it is, man, and it's not, you ain't mean enough, man. You know, you ain't punishing dudes that's smaller than you. So like Shaq was doing, man. Like, you know, even in college, Alonzo was burying dudes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Alonzo get
it
inside, man. He putting it down. You know what I'm saying? He putting you inside the rim with him. You know, these dudes do it occasionally, but not like they need to, man. Also, you got another dude from Connecticut. They got a big dude who's like a 7'2", but we'll see. Like I said, March Madness is upon us, so we'll see what's what, you know. But
I'm going to tell you like this, man. With this Wizards organization and the people who are leading it, I have no faith, no confidence, no trust in what they will or are going to do. I have no trust in them, man. I don't see anything positive coming from this Wizards team. I don't. And as a fan, that's a sad place to be, man. That's a real sad place to be, you know. I went through it last year with the football team, you know. And now it seems as though they're turning things around and headed in the right direction. And my question is, when are the Wizards going to do it? Does Ted Leonsis have to leave before this team can give us something as a fan to be proud of, to rest our morals on? I just don't see it. I mean, you know, I was listening to Wes Hall, you know, talking about the Wizards today, and he was saying how we just got to give it some time, and before you know it, this Wizards team will be this, and when the right players come, never mentioning the coach, never mentioning anything about a coach, and I'm like, bro, we need a coach.
Yeah,
you need a coach. It's not about, you can have all the players you want, man. You can have all the players that you want. If you don't have a coach, you have nothing.
They put him in the right
seat.
But see, I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know much about this coach. I know he's, you know, interim coach that they put in because, like you said, they fired one coach and put him to the head office, you know, to do what? I don't know, to get free coffee or whatever. But
no.
But Edie, now I'm not gonna, don't hit me, don't get me wrong with that. That'd be a good pick now because he will demand double teams, you know what I mean, or what have you. And he is a good passer, kicking it out to your shooters. Y'all do get good shooters when they are on, you know, and stuff. So y'all can run some type of triangle, many things, but you got to post presence and they can kick it out to those shooters. But y'all need to get rid of Poole for sure. He's that poison, man. Y'all don't need him. Y'all got that young boy Bayou, whatever his name with the long arms. You got
yeah.
Jones.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of a little injured dealing with his back thing. You know, that's why his jumpers was short and stuff. And he didn't, like you say, communicate. He usually be the one to communicate, but he's like wasn't really into the game. He even left the court right. And went to the basket and stuff at a point of the game. You know, so, and he's been wearing a brace. I've been checked, but nobody called.
Yeah, I like Bilal. And everything I harped on with Kuzma last year, I'm seeing it from the rookie, Bilal. Because, hey, man, you getting defense. He checked every team's key score. And he does a good job on them. He does a great job on them.
And see, with defense, it's a team effort. Because if you got one person playing D and the other person ain't playing, you just got a lapse in that. And so that's where you got the gap to this. So everybody got a big cohesive. You got to help out your man, Galas, help out and talk. Don't just let your man go. You got to hustle back. You know. So I can say, let that boy. Then you put Shepard in there and stuff. And then you know, let Poole go. You got Jones, that tall, that long, you say your boy, and then you got Shepard in there, and then you got, come on with Kuzma, then David, then you got big boy Edie, if y'all get him, then the mother boys that y'all got that's coming along. Yeah, but Kuzma, I mean, not Kuzma, but Poole to me is a cesspool. That's what he is, a cesspool.
A cesspool. Hey, man, I almost lost it, man, when he was down on that floor, kid. You reminded me. You brought all those feelings back, man. When that man was sitting on the floor and contemplating shooting, I said, see, he's not taking this serious, man. He's not taking this game or this team serious at all. You're going to sit on the floor and shoot, bro?
Why also the coach, this coach aspect, why you didn't call a timeout too? Lucky y'all was able to get the pass off though, but come on, man. You're saving your play. That's a possession. Every possession counts. Like you say, they always I was looking at the game, but you know I'm bird watching, sightseeing, everything. I'm just looking around, you know, everything, you know, checking out the ventilation system because it was cold. I'm like, damn, I'm glad I got the two jackets on. You know what I'm saying? So you know how I get cold. So anyway, I'm like, man, y'all just crazy. Coach, call the timeout. Do something. You don't know who your lineup. You don't know who you want to put in there. You don't know. Like you say, they need to mention about a new coach or something. But y'all get that Edie, that'd be a good choice. Y'all need to go after big man.
Yeah, definitely. I get it. A lot of people say, you know, man, y'all waste time talking about the Wizards, but that's my team. That's my home team, man. And they won a championship, but I was a child. I was a child then, a little kid. So I need to see them win as me being an adult, you know. I need to see this owner really put work into making a team. You're only thinking about money. Our owner is only thinking about himself and money. That's it. That's all. Because when the Mystics played a championship, played for their championship, why do they have to play over at that? Now, that other arena is good. Don't get me wrong. It's not a bad arena. But it's not the arena you play a championship in. It's not. You're supposed to play in the big arena, the big name arena. And Capital One Arena has more to offer than that what is that arena over there, man? Where the Crazy House used to be. When we were younger, I forgot the name of it. I forgot the name of that area, man. I don't know what's going on. I'm forgetting the names of St. Elizabeth, St. Eve. You know, they built the arena over there. And don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. It's okay as a arena. But regular season, let the Mystics play in their regular season. When it comes to a championship game, man, they supposed to be in the big arena. But Ted Leonsis thinking more about money than anything else, let them play in that raggedy older arena. Come on, man. You know, you're taking away from the ambiance. You're taking away from the feeling of we're actually doing something. You know, they're playing in the same. It's like when I played ball, there were certain gyms that I would go to. We used to go on Andrews Air Force Base. I love those courts. I love those courts, indoor or outdoor. It did not matter. My three was banging. My cut game was off the chain at that court. Now, I still gave the same effort at other courts in the area, Anacostia, just all over. But it was something about Andrews Air Force Base, man. It was something about the Air Force Base that was just like, I'm going to do my thing today. You know, you feel it walking in the door. You feel it walking in the door. And I'm just like, man, I'd be glad when this man sells this team, bro. I'd be glad when he sells the team, and you want out of the city, go ahead and take the Caps over there if you want to. If you want to move, you want to do, take the Caps over there. Don't take the Wizards or the Mystics. Let whoever buys the Wizards or the Mystics keep Capital One Arena and watch the change, man. Watch the change. I don't know how it can be done, but y'all are talking to a Wizards fan who wants it done just that way.
Well, you know what? Too bad. The Commanders, the Commanders owner has stake in Philadelphia basketball team, because if he can sell that and then go on and buy the Wizards and the Mystics from Terry Olsen and develop that like that area as far as the JFK Stadium, and then take the Armory out and then, you know what I mean, build the whole new basketball arena or whatever over there. If they don't want, if they want to, and then or what have you, or if they don't want to keep Capital One or whatever. But like you say, make that complex for something, man. Put a dome over the JFK. You know what I'm saying? You can even make it look like the Capitol Dome or whatever, just without the peak. Or you can put a peak with whoever you your greatest player. I put Doug Williams up there since he won the Super Bowl for you, so I don't know.
Right,
the sky
right.
is a statue, but Washington needs to develop that area, man. Needs to go back. The city, the team needs to go back to, come back to D.C. You know what I'm saying? And with the weather, they need to put a dome over it. You know, if Dallas got one, and you know, hey, going to do Jerry one, you know.
Well, that's one thing I love about Harris. He doesn't care what Dallas is doing, Jerry Jones. He's trying to do his own thing. He's trying to put together his own thing. But that is a great comment, because you get a dome, you can have a Super Bowl. You know, you can have a Super Bowl. So. Yeah, that's something great right there. All right, y'all. Great conversation. Do you guys realize? Go ahead.
I was saying, this city definitely has the capacity for a Super Bowl, because you got so many, you know, you got it's the DMV. You got three states in a sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. itself. You got ample hotels. That's it, you know?
Right.
And develop
right.
that area.
Right.
It'll bring revenue. It'll, you know, do that. Well, it's a no-brainer. Do it.
Yeah, I got to agree with you, bro.
Thousands.
I got
you. You know, man, pick that up. You know, you giving all this money to what we know where they giving money at and all this and that. We're not helping the community itself where we live at. You know what I mean? So, you know. But yeah, I see you. But also, you got Magic part of it.
Magic what?
You got Magic part of it, you know, as far as dealing, you know, have knowledge as far as basketball, you know. So, you know, like you say, if you want Ted to sell the team, go ahead and Harris going to buy it, you know.
You know.
Harris Group.
You know. Oh, man. It's yours for the taking. All right, y'all. Great basketball conversation. We're going to take a quick break.
Quick. Unless you want to take a break, we come back. But I do got some update on some injuries in the NBA.
Nah, go ahead and let it out.
Carl Anthony Towns meniscus problem. They trying to see if it's a tear or whatever. He's out indefinitely. You got LeBron dealing with his ankle soreness. He left the game early yesterday. You got boy from Cleveland, Evan Mobley. There's something going on with him. He's injured. So, like I say, like we were saying about hockey, this any sport, the health is the key. to winning championships. Mm-hmm. And if you're going in playoffs, you ain't got your horses with you and they're healthy, they're laboring, you can kind of forget it. You know?
Yeah.
And Minnesota was they right there, and you losing the big key with Carl Anthony Towns, who going to step up?
What do I always say, guys? Your best ability is availability. And if you ain't got it, you know, like you just said, you're done. So, you know, hey, we'll see how it all plays out. That's a shame with Carl Anthony Towns, you know, with the indefinite prognostication on his return. That's kind of, you know, that's one of those wild moments there, you know. But, hey, it is what it is, you know. People get hurt all the time, man, but, you know. I tell you what, the people betting don't mind because they know what we know. You injured, you out of it, then you might as well just count your team dead, you know. 563-999-3782 is the number. When we come back, we're going to jump into this free agency, man. It actually starts March the 13th next week. But it's some moves that have been made already, so we'll cover that when we come back. Dedicated to Terry Onsen. Can't help but wait for you to get the hell out of here. All right, NFL free agency. Let's take a look at it. They got a nice little list here of free agencies. Number one, top at the list, defensive tackle from Kansas City, Chris Jones. But I really think Chris Jones is going to stay. I don't see him leaving Kansas City for real. What's going on here? Oh, okay, hold on. All right. Running backs. We have Saquon Barkley, the boy from Derrick Henry. That's what I'm trying to say, y'all. Derrick Henry. There's a lot of free agents out here that's going to change things up. You got Derrick Henry. I said already. Number 29 with Washington. I'm sorry, y'all. Forgive me. I forgot this Bama name. Oh, goodness, what's going on with me? Okay, NFL, free agents. Yeah. Forgive me, guys. I'm all out of order here.
Antonio Gibson.
Antonio Gibson. Yes, Antonio Gibson. Washington has signed Zach Ertz, former Eagles tight end. Let me see, quarterback-wise, Kirk Cousins, I think I said that already. But look into, okay. Hold on, bear with me for a second, fellas. Okay, here we go. Josh Allen has been franchise tagged to Dobi Awuzie, Saquon Barkley, Marquise Brown, Trent Brown, Brian Burns was franchise tagged. Kirk Cousins, Saquon Barkley, man. And they talk about the Cowboys going for Saquon Barkley. Jalen Johnson, he re-signed with the Bears, your cornerback Ted, so he off the market. Safety Tyrann Mathieu re-signed with the Saints. Ooh, 2 years, $13 million. Jonnu Smith signed with the Dolphins, 2 years, $10 million. Mitchell Trubisky signed with the Bills. Zach Ertz with the Commanders, as I said. Dalton Schultz re-signs with the Titans, tight end. Dalton Schultz, 3 years, $36 million, $23.5 guaranteed. Mike Evans re-signed with the Buccaneers, 2 years, $52 million, $35 million guaranteed. Wide receiver DeMarcus Robinson re-signed with the Rams, 1 year, $5 million. Josh Allen has been franchise tagged. I said all of these guys. Cameron Curl is out there. Levante David, Kevin Dotson. Kyle Duggar signed a transition tag. Well, has been transition tag. Austin Eckler, Leonard Floyd, Kendall Fuller. That's number 29, Kendall Fuller. Stephen Gilmore, Derrick Henry, T. Higgins with franchise tag, Bryce Huff, Robert Hunt, Danielle Hunter, Jonah Jackson, Josh Jacobs, Chris Jones, Frankie Louvoux, Baker Mayfield. It's a lot of guys out here, y'all. Calvin Ridley, you know, Za'Darius Smith, Snead with franchise tag, Geno Stone, not Geno Smith, Debo, Geno Stone, Josh Uche, Connor Williams, Leonard Williams, Jonah Williams, Christian Wilkins, Antoine Whitfield with franchise tag, Chase Young is on the market, and Kevin Zeitler. All those players have either been franchise tagged or they're still open market free agents. I'm looking at the free agent pool. Like, first of all, and because I'm building my team. I'm not looking at the interest of anyone else's team right now. I'm looking at my team. Any offensive linemen that look like they're worth their weight, I'm going after them. I'm going after them because offensive line was one of the downfalls for us last year and for Sam Howell as well, which it looks like they're going to bring Sam Howell back. So I'm cool with that. Marcus sent me some information on yesterday, I believe it was, it was Tuesday after the show, where they're talking about the Commanders trading back, trading that number two pick back. And it's a host of teams that want that number two pick. Some guys are chasing Marvin Harrison Jr. and other teams are wanting that quarterback of the future to lead their team. So it's a good spot to be in. It's a good spot to be in. Right now, Washington is holding 11 picks. We're holding 11 picks right now. So there are assumptions that we can get up to 20, and that's including next year's draft as well. So, hey, draft time is almost here, guys, but the free agency, let's keep it in free agency. Nobody is really surprised about Josh Allen being a franchise. Really, the shockers on this list to me is Saquon Barkley. I mean, when are the Giants going to really see that this man is not just the running part of their offense, but he's also a part of their passing game, a serious part of their passing game, you know? But, hey, that's the Giants. That is the Giants. Russell Wilson. Reports are being said that the Steelers are the team set Russell Wilson and possibly sign him. Now, the reason I say that would be a good move for them, number one, they don't have to pay him over $1.5 million to play with him, because we discussed it. He's owed $89 million from the Broncos. And this year, he'll get $32 million, and then he'll pick up the remainder next season. So that's really not a gamble for the Steelers, you know. And if he plays good for them, we know that there are going to be all type of incentives in there for him to get paid more, you know, because that's how the NFL works. You know, that's just how it works. So, but that Saquon Barkley, it just stands out to me, because he's a guy that when he's healthy, let me say that, he's an important piece to that team when he's healthy. You know, and to just let him go out there. Now it could be a situation where the Giants are viewing his value to everyone else. And as long as it's not a crazy number, they may match it. You know, say a team wants to sign him 3 years, $38 million. Well, I'm pretty sure the Giants will say, no, we'll sign you 3 years. $40 million, you know. But my thing is, you know this man's value to your team. Why play this game? And that bugs me every year with the NFL. We go through this every year. Oh, no, this position isn't the popular position anymore, so, you know, We'll just play around and drag around and see what everyone else is willing to offer him, and then we'll take him in and pay him the correct way. And I think that's so stupid. That is so stupid, because even if you do give him more than the other team, the fact that you took him through this transition and through this nonsense is going to stick out in his head. And no player can get shorted or be treated in this way and come out without hard feelings towards the negotiation. No player. Come on in here, Marcus. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ted. My bad.
No, go ahead, Marcus. Yeah, I'm here. I didn't say anything.
Like you said,
I thought you were going to say something, Ollie. But like you said, Kel, Saquon is also, he blocked. It was a travesty how they did him last year, franchising. They gave Daniel Jones that money. Now they regret it, you know? They know they can't win with him without him. I think, you know, as far as our people, we are one of the most loyal people there is to we used to be to our own people, but definitely to the other people. You understand what I'm saying? So we wants to be a giant for life, but they treated him like crap. And the reason he's been injured because he's running like a horse. He did so much. He put out himself for them, you know? And look what reward they gave him. Franchise tag, you know, like you say, they did downgrade the value of a running back when, you know, we know a lot of running back is the key. Running game when it comes to playoffs is the key to your success and stuff. You have things have to slow down if the passing ain't going. You need that running. Also, like I said, he blocks, he catches, and he can break. You know, he break a big one. You know, but he's like you say, wore down and how they wore him down. So I think he should just go somewhere else that will love to use him in the right way and where he get a chance to win the championship because. A Super Bowl because the Giants nowhere too soon before he retire. I don't think can win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I agree 100% with that. It's just a shame, you know, that anyone that pads up every Sunday and plays this game is devalued. You understand what I'm saying? These guys are giving their all every Sunday, even sometimes in a losing effort. So to say that you don't value them the same, I think that's I find that to be disgusting. Serious, I find that to be disgusting. When you have a running back who is all, like we're saying, Saquon, you use him in the running game, of course. You use him in the passing game. You utilize his skills in both catching and blocking in the passing game. I mean, what more does he have to do to show his value? What more does he have to do before you say, okay, yeah, he's a guy that beyond shadow of a doubt. And I get it. We talk about the injuries and everything, but it's like you said, he's injured because he's a workhorse. You know, it ain't like he's getting injured, taking his trash out. Or anything like that. He's injured because he's a workhorse. Every time you turn around, you all are calling his name on a play. You guys want him out there on that field. So, how is it that you can see his value when he's playing, but you don't see his value in the negotiation room? I don't get it.
How many times we have seen him play injured, you know, where he done twisted his ankle and stuff. He's still out there trying to get when they was calling himself having a little playoff run or whatever, you know, when he was, I guess, in his life, when he was, you know, Saquon, the reason they got him. You know, he's durable, this and that. But like you say, he played through injury. He did this and that. And y'all poo-poo on him, you know. Franchise instead of take them through all what y'all took them through last year. Then y'all want to decide probably to do it again this year, but gave Daniel Jones that money. Like I said again, y'all regretting it now. Y'all regretting it. So, Saquon going to leave, man. I understand you want to be loyal, you know, this and that one team, but dude, they don't appreciate you. I go somewhere else. So they definitely ain't going to win, you know.
No. The Giants have too many.
The Bears got a chance. Yeah.
But I'm going to say this. I hope he doesn't go to Dallas. I hope he doesn't go to Dallas because, to me, Dallas would be an upgrade. Their offensive line, their quarterback, all of that. They would be an upgrade for Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry. You know, so new.
Yeah.
I don't want them going to Dallas. That I would have a whole new reason to hate that Dallas team. So I don't want him going to neither one of them. You know, Arizona, nobody in the NFC East. Just put it that way. I wouldn't want him going to nobody.
Well, let me put my GM on, cause people y'all talk about. You can't have two star quarterbacks or a starter quarterback and have somebody else good. No, like I say, with the way quarterbacks got hurt last year and stuff, you need a good quality quarterback to back. So I'm going to get rid of Justin. I'm going to get Caleb, either Daniels, and then I'm going to get Russell for $1.5 million, okay, and let him sit the bench or whatever, because you got to look at when Green Bay got the quarterback they got when they got him doing when Aaron Rodgers was there. They saw the future. You know, they needed him. Why not? And you being backed up by, you know, you being led or taught or whatever, supposed to have been tutored by, you know, a Hall of Fame or whatever, but then you can sit and watch him if he wasn't, like you say, his job is not to, you know, tutor you or whatever, baby. But anyway, you can watch and learn. You know what I mean? So I don't see nothing wrong with, and also quarterback competition. And we got a young, if we choose Caleb Williams, he's not ready for the pros maybe yet, especially the speed and the hitting and all that. And I think you need to put a little bit more pounds on him. So, but I take Russell, experience, you know what I mean? Been in the fire. So, and he's a humble guy that he, I don't think even if you put him on that bench, that he wouldn't mind helping the young guy out if you chose to start Caleb. But if you chose to start Russell, let Caleb watch, you know, and learn, but you don't. Hey, go ahead.
Hey, Ted, you got to start
Yes,
Caleb.
Sir.
You got to start Caleb.
I'll start him.
Yeah, you got to start your boy Caleb. Russell Wilson ain't, like you said, you bring him in as a backup to tutor that boy. But Russell Wilson's time is over. For real.
Mm.
It's all about Caleb, man.
I got you.
I don't think. I agree. You start Caleb. First of all, Justin Fields is out of there. That's done. But Start Caleb.
You start Caleb.
Start him.
Yeah.
That young man is today's prototypical NFL quarterback to a T. Now, I know the gripes are coming out now that he doesn't win the big game, and you know, for some reason, the team he's lined up against is a problem for him sometimes, but Russell Wilson, I think Russell can help him in communication. I think he can help him in learning NFL lingo. But outside of that, I don't see Russ helping that young man in any other way. He has attributes and skill set way beyond what Russ can do. That's to me. Anybody can disagree, but I think his skill set is beyond. His skill set is more like what Russell used to be.
I'm glad you said that. I was just going to say that, like Russell used to be. So like you say, Marcus said, I'll start Caleb, like you say. And so I think Russell is that type of nice of a guy, a humble enough guy, knowing that, okay, man, if I get a second chance, I'm just grateful. You know what I mean? I'm already getting paid from Denver. If I can get with, you know, somewhere, if it's not Atlanta, if I get with Chicago and I mentor this young kid,
Because he, like you say, he got the same attributes that I used to have. So now I can kind of point him and say, hey, Poop, now you 2.0 me, you know, or 3.0 me, however you want to consider it. But, you know, Poop, like you say, the lingo, the professionalism, whatever. Well, you're professionalism, man. But they, like I say, they just shine this poo-poo on him, man, you know. He's just jealous of his hate, you know.
You also got to think. The Steelers, they put it out there that they're in the Russell Wilson market. So Russ not going to go nowhere and sit when he has an opportunity to go somewhere and start.
That's true. But you know who I would think I think they say Las Vegas is in the market. And I think that would be perfect because they mentioned New York, but I'm like, okay, Sierra, New York, but I'm like, no, Vegas, because she can go to get her residency. She's an entertainer. Yeah, she's in Vegas. They got a dome. Vegas is the capital, the entertainment capital. That's what she does. They got a residency thing there. She getting paid. He getting paid. They ain't got to go nowhere and move. Check. Winning.
Yeah.
Hey, and they want him. Raiders kind of want him. So, you know, maybe he get everybody live. I don't know. So we'll see. I can see that pretty long ball to my man, 17. Can't think of that boy's name. Raiders wide receiver.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Him.
Yeah. Is it Rodgers?
Yeah, I know. No, man.
I can't think of his name. I can't.
Davante Adams.
But I know Adams.
Davante Adams.
I just don't see Russ having an opportunity to start somewhere, choosing a team where he'd be on the bench. I just don't see that. I don't think his bravado would allow him to do that. I just don't see that. I think we'll see Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre type of attitude all over again. I'm not here to train no youngin. I'm here to play. I'm here to win.
Yeah. So if you're coming back from the embarrassment that with Denver, hey, a slice of humble pie is, you know, and he's a humble guy anyway, man. You know what I'm saying? Like I say, he took the time to take a picture with me. He was very gracious, you know, and nice. So he's that type of nice of a guy, man. And if you got to, knowing that you might even be out the league, and, you know, ain't too many people calling real so quick right now. I don't know. Well, it might be a strategy also, politics, I would call it. By them waiting and this and that, so they know they only got to give them that. So, you know, seeing whatever people available this and that. But, man, me as a Bears thing, I'm getting them at 1.5 million, you know, because I ain't got to pay Justin them coming up, you know, and I only got to pay the rookie salary for Caleb. And like I say, he'll be a great tutor. And so, but I don't know if Derek Carr is the one that's going to be starred. How great did he do with the Raiders? You know, he missed a lot of passes to Devontae Adams and stuff. He ain't that great. Game on. Competition. Bring it.
Yeah. Sounds good to me. And I think between Derek Carr and Russell Wilson, my money going with Russ. I don't really blame Russ for things that happened in Denver because it's hard as hell when you have a coach that's not into you. You have a coach that doesn't believe in you. And Sean Payton pretty much showed the whole NFL world that he does not believe in Russ, that Russ is not his choice, and he wants to move on. So when you look at that, I mean, you know, you can't really blame Russ. You can't really blame Russ, man. You look up other situations where quarterbacks were playing for a team, and you know, you just had the coach and the staff not behind that quarterback, and it showed on the field. It showed on the field. So I don't really blame Russ. Go ahead.
Right. Well, you know, okay, they talk about how he had this and that. How did he get it? I mean, they can't. He can't get it unless they give it to him. You know what I mean? And if they had a problem initially with him, even if he asked for it, no, Russ, we can't do it like that, you know. But they was kind of baiting him, catering to him and this and that. Because, like you say, the status of what he, you know, once was or whatever. And they thought they was going to get the Russell of old. But, you know, also you can fault other things with Denver, maybe injuries and this and that. Maybe the coaching scheme, because they say the coach, they, you know, he made mistakes also. So, and you see how he's paid me off on the coach. They say that's never been done, though, as far as with the coaching fraternity. You know, never supposed to do that. You know, and Sean Payton was just all the way a rogue. He did that with that. And then, you know, how he stopped kissing babies and this and that. Drew Brees, hey, he used to be the sunshine of New Orleans, kissing babies and all that. Come on, man.
Right.
Like you say, he didn't like work from the outset, you know. It wasn't his choice.
Yeah. I'll say this. I will be so glad when blame is given where it's deserving to be. You got a lot of people talking this and that as far as Russ goes. Football is a team sport, both on the sideline with the coaches and the players that you put on the field. I'm not 100% sold on Denver's offensive line, their running back, and their wide receivers. Because I saw Russ throw some pretty good deep balls, some damn good deep balls, and guys just dropped it. They weren't prepared. So how can we put blame on him for that? We can't.
For everything.
You can't put blame on him for that, man.
Right. Hey, real quick. Remember how Sean got exposed? Remember that one couple of games when he was losing or got beat by, 40 points or something like that? And stuff. So, dude, check yourself. You busy. Remember we talked about, like, you busy poo-pooing on Russ and this and that. You need to check yourself. You busy poo-pooing on the old coach. Look at you, dude. You know, you the head coach. You making blunders on, not call it this and that. And that dude, you was exposed. So what they saying about you? Nothing. So I hope Russ get a good break, man, because like I said, he deserves it. You know.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, guys. Time to roll out here. Thank you guys for your time. I really, truly appreciate it. Hey, Ted, come in, man. Give me the last word, bro. The weekend word.
Hey, my brother, man, like I say, we you know, we encourage each other, man, check on each other, man, on our health and our mindset, you know, by sending encouragement words, uplifting things, scriptures and what have you. He sent me something today about brotherhood, man. It really touched me, man, and I sent it out. I sent it out to many men that I knew and sent it out to him, and then that's when my phone broke. So I don't know who he needs back, but like I say, I really appreciate it, man. And this is brotherhood month, man. Let's brothers, let's rise up together, man. Let's get close. And in your circles, man, brothers from your nephews to your uncles to your to just a godson, whoever, man. Any young man in your circles and brothers, man, let's embrace each other, man, and tell them that they're kings, man, and just let's unite, you know, and give them encouraging words, man.
No doubt. Great word. All right, guys, we'll be back at you, Lord willing, Tuesday, 5 p.m. And I'm challenging everyone. Give the number to someone. give the number to someone. I love and enjoy talking to you all, but I want some more people to uplift, man, some more people to bring here and get hooked on this corner, man. We can do that. We all can do that. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your family, your friends. Lift somebody up, man. Lift somebody up. You'll be surprised. That text that Ted is speaking of or spoke of was sent to me. And as I read it, I got encouraged and I felt good about it. So, you know, we never know what people need. You never know what people need. And no, it's not our job to give all the time, but it is our job to encourage all the time. With that being said, thank you guys. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you joining me. And we will be back Tuesday, 5 p.m., ready to get on the corner. All right. Enjoy your weekend. Be safe. Remember, we love you on the corner.